Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Bob and Linda Lottick, helping Christians live financially free.
We weren't born with a silver spoon.
No.
We are not the ones who are going to come with the self-righteous, like, we got it all figured out.
Because no,
we have been there, we have been through the stuff, but we will come and give God glory because He wants to invade all of our finances. And
yes,
we've seen it in our lives. We've seen it in so many of our students' lives that that's the one thing that we want to continue to highlight, that Jesus is able no matter what your situation is, no matter what your past is.
Mm-hmm. Bob and Linda Lottick next. Today on His People, Sonny Cain talks with Bob and Linda Lottick, financial coaches and founders of Seed Time, where they help Christians live financially free and impact eternity. They're co-authors of Simple Money, Rich Life. After climbing out of their own financial rock bottom, they've helped over 11,000 people break free from debt and design lives of eternal impact. They talk about the tension money creates in marriage, the weight of debt, and how God leads us to real financial freedom.
Well, Bob and Linda, I have so been looking forward to this conversation because I know it's a topic that touches all of us, and that is the topic of money. And I know that you guys have a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life in this area and that you've helped so many people. So thank you for being willing to be here with us. I want to welcome you to the His People program.
Well, thank you for having us, Sonny. It's an honor to be here, and we're excited to chat.
Yes.
Well, Bob, I'm going to start with this. Your book opens with a rock bottom moment. You were deep in debt, stranded, and had only $7 to your name. Can you take us back to that day and the revelation God gave you in that moment?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a turning point day for me. And a lot of people have these with their finances in one way or another. But for me, I was early 20s. And like you said, I was driving at the time, I was driving down this Florida road. I was 1,000 miles away from home. Beautiful sunny day, and then my car breaks down in the middle of that road, and I'm having to do the thing where it's like I push the car over to the side while holding the steering wheel, and anybody who's ever done that knows it's not too easy, but it's a crowded road, everybody's staring, gawking, and so I get the car to the side of the road, and I remember thinking, like, God, what do I do? And then as I asked that question, I started realizing all the fear, all the everything came piling on my shoulders because I realized I'm in big trouble financially because I had just gotten my paycheck. I was taking it to the bank to deposit it so that I could pay my rent that was due that day. And if I didn't get it that day, they were going to tack on an extra $50. And my paycheck was literally just enough to cover the rent payment. And so I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to get this car towed and fixed? You know, I have $7 in my checking account. My one credit card is nearly maxed out. And then my friends are coming down the next day to visit. I'm like, I got to get to the airport 45 miles away. Like, all of this stuff swirled in my brain. And it was in that moment that I realized I don't understand money. Like, I thought I had it all together. But like, in this moment, my house of cards, you know, was kind of crumbling down before me. And, you know, and a lot of us have had this moment where our finances become a mess and we get to that point where we cry out to God. Or maybe it's not our finances, maybe it's any area. But for me, that was the moment where I cried out to God and said, I don't know what I don't know, and I need help. And if you have a better plan, like, I'm ready to listen finally, and I want to hear what you have to say.
And did you ever have any idea that God would use that moment of all moments in your life to spur on a ministry? Like, how many times you've told that this story,
yeah,
how many times
yeah,
you've said it out loud on these interviews?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, not at all. Never dreamed that that would lead to what we would do for the rest of our lives, probably, you know. But God seems to like to do that. Like, He likes to take people through a transformation and use those people to help other people in the same situation. And man, and what He's taught us over the years has been so powerful. And we've just been honored to be able to share it with our audience and anybody who will listen, really.
Yeah, that speaks to the faithfulness. I mean, for a listener out there who might be in one of those moments, whether it's financial or just one of those moments where you think, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. The pressure seems overwhelming. My prayer is in this moment, at the sound of our voices, you would be reminded God has a way of using even
yep,
this hardship. Even now, He can use it and He can turn it around. And so I just want to encourage you to have hope. Now, Linda, what was your financial background like? Was your journey similar to Bob's, or did it bring a different perspective into your marriage?
Well, mine is a very different perspective in that, you know, you mentioned this at the beginning where people try to avoid this, and that was me, major avoidance. And so around the time Bob was having that, I was literally, I remember getting ready for the day one morning and just praying, God, can you please help me marry someone who's good at math? Because the math is not mathing for me. And, you know, I'm trying to pay my bills, but I found myself in a position of having a debt collector calling me, which, you know, I think some people have a lot of shame and guilt around that.
Key detail here you need to fill in.
I'm about to. But the thing that made it worse is that I was living in my parents' house. I mean, they were buying my toothpaste. Okay, so you can see I had gotten myself into a pickle. And, you know, I remember my mom got picked up one of those calls from the bill collectors. And I just was, my heart was pounding. My face was bright red. And I did the, you know, kind of teenage thing of like, it's fine, I've got it under control. And I did not have it under control. So secretly, in my room, I'm like praying and sweating. But for a while for me, it was very much like, can someone else just take care of this and just tell me what to do? And, you know, that's even when we got into our marriage, Bob was like ready to roll up his sleeves. And I was just like, I don't want to talk about this. Just let me know what I need to do. But I think that's what's so beautiful about the Lord is that he doesn't call us to do that either. Even though I'm not the math girl, I'm not the one that can add up all the numbers or create the spreadsheet or, you know, organize it. It still was not something that he was calling me to run away from. He actually wanted me to face it and bring freedom in that area for me as well.
So let's recap here. Bob's stranded with $7 to his name and Linda's living at home dodging credit card payments. Oh. Sounds like the financial dream team, right?
Yes. No, I know. Like that's what I love telling people. We weren't born with a silver spoon.
No.
We are not the ones who are going to come with a self-righteous, like we got it all figured out because we have been there. We have been through the stuff, but we will come and give God glory because he wants to invade all of our finances. And yes, we've seen it in our lives. We've seen it in so many of our students' lives that, that's the one thing that we want to continue to highlight, that Jesus is able, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your past is.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like when your two money stories collided and how did you begin figuring things out together?
Yeah, in this case, I think it worked out well for me that he was willing to do all the work and I was willing to step back and just say, just tell me, you know, not everybody has that gift of I'll just trust whatever you tell me to do, right? And so that's how it started. Was his struggle was trying to get me involved. However, once I got involved, then we had a whole other different conversation of, I know you want to spend all of the money we have, but here's how, you know, here's what I would recommend and let's try to work through this. You know, and I think that that's really important to go to each other. If you're married, go to each other like you don't know everything, because the truth is you don't. Like I had no idea the depths to which he had organized things that I had no idea about. And he had no idea about some of the needs I had that had not been fulfilled at that point in time. Like I remember one of our early conversations was that he didn't know that I needed money for makeup or to get my hair done. And I'm like, I mean, he has been shaving his head basically since I've known him. Like you've never paid for a haircut. That's fine. I have to pay for haircuts. That's how this works, you know? And so you have to go to each other realizing that, you know, there are things that are important to both of you. And actually, God has you both in the marriage for a purpose, and you can work together to make this happen in a way that is God-honoring. And I think that's what's really exciting to me is I love that it's not just one of us is right, but when we come together, we can really unify and move forward the purpose that God has for us and our finances and our marriage. And I mean, I'm just really excited about that piece of it.
Looking beyond your own journey, what are some of the most common money missteps or habits that you think would tend to create financial strain and in turn strain for the marriage for couples? And what do you wish more couples knew about navigating money together before it becomes a source of conflict?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that we've observed with people we work with is simply not paying attention to what's going on. It's really easy in the modern day to lose track because we have Venmo and we have PayPal and we have all these subscriptions and money's coming out from here and here and going everywhere. And it's just not nearly as simple as it was 30 or 40 years ago where you had a checking account and like maybe a savings account.
Or you could just use cash. You know, that's not really an option anymore for a lot of people.
It's become a lot more complicated. And while there are some tools to help assist with that, the reality is that most people, unfortunately, have not caught up with that. And that's such a crucial key to literally just know what's going on with your finances. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there are plenty of people listening who probably do that. It's like, I got that part down. But there's also plenty of people who are not doing that. And I would encourage you that that is the first step. Like, just know what's going on. Because what's amazing is once you just get the information of, like, how much do I spend on average each month on groceries, it alerts you to problems that you might not otherwise know about. And if you don't know about it, you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this is so important. And we've had multiple instances in our marriage, as well as with our students, where we've seen things like this, to where we're just provided the information by being able to see what's going on, using an app or looking at your statements or whatever, that without it, it's like you're just in trouble and you're not gonna be able to fix the problem.
I can imagine sometimes as people are beginning to look at that and beginning that sometimes people actually don't even know to where to start with that because subscriptions are everywhere and shame tends to block us from easy steps even, right? Like it clouds our minds and sometimes makes things feel even bigger than they really are. So when you're saying begin understanding what is happening, what are some tangible ways people can do that?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite tools for doing this that we take a lot of our students through, it's not sponsored, unfortunately, but if you work there, call us and let us know. We worked them out. But it's an app called Rocket Money, which I love because it's really simple. You can go in there and, you know, connect your credit cards, your bank accounts, whatever, and then it will instantly tell you how much you've spent in all these areas over the last few months. And so you don't have to go through all your statements and put them in a spreadsheet and add them all up with a calculator. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You literally just connect your accounts. It's secured with the same level of security as your bank, you know, so it's relatively secure, you know, in that regard. And so it's just a really simple step that someone can take to quickly know what's going on. And again, you're just trying to arm yourself with information so that you can fix a particular problem. I mean, you want to tell them about the Starbucks story?
Sure. I mean, this was a few years back, but I was choosing to spend some of our money on Starbucks every day. And although at that point we had things organized enough that this didn't really affect Bob, like he knew it was happening, but he came and told me, do you know how much you spend on Starbucks every day? And I didn't.
Well,
and
per month.
Well, yeah, I knew how much my drink cost. So I was like, okay, yeah, I have got an idea. So he tells me, what was it?
I think it was like $200 or $300 a month, which I knew because we had done this.
Mm-hmm. Right? And what happened was after he told me that, I was like, now I can't unhear this. But what he just gave me the information and walked away. Such wisdom in Bob of just, here's the information, do what you want with it. And I thought, well, now I can't unhear that and I can't unknow it. And so what happened for me was I actually could make a choice now. Do I want to continue doing this or would I rather reallocate that money towards something else? And I made the choice to buy an espresso machine and start making my drinks at home because I just was like, this is actually not how I want to spend my money. But, you know, having that information, man, it is so powerful. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I think they just think it's fine. Well, that's just what I enjoy. And it's like, that's fine. You can still enjoy it and maybe reallocate some of that money. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. You get to make the decision now of what is best for you and your lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, one other example I'll throw out real quick, Sunny. We had a couple that we were working with and they came to us because they were just in a really, really tight financial position. And this was the first thing I had them do this exercise, figure out where the money's going, because they told us, because I asked them, like, how much do you guys spend eating out each month? And they said $200 or so. And I said, all right, we'll do this exercise and find out for sure and then come back and tell me. So they come back and tell me that we actually found out it was about $800 a month. Okay. So nowhere close to what they estimated. Whoa. Now, the reason they came to us is they were considering moving from their house because they couldn't afford it. And so now, because they have that information, they can make a decision. Would we rather spend $800 a month eating out, or we would rather stay in this house?
Right.
You know, and it's like, I don't care what the answer is. You do what you want to do, but now you can make a decision and you have control, you have power, you know?
Yeah, I keep thinking of the scripture, know the state of your flocks and herds.
Yeah.
You know, biblically speaking, and sometimes we overlook this practical stuff that we're talking about. We tend to either go to the emotional side, or maybe we go immediately to the giving as Christians, but sometimes we are lacking the education of the simplicity of what you're talking about. Grab rocket money. Just start knowing what you're doing. So thank you for taking time to just kind of walk us into that simple, practical step. Now, you've said that seeking God in financial decisions has changed everything. How do you practically invite him into your finances? And can you each share a moment where his hand was unmistakable? And what truth has God taught you personally that's helped you walk in greater freedom?
Let me just say this first. It's continual. As with our walk with the Lord, like this is something that we are continuing to go back to him being like, what else is in my heart that needs to be gotten rid of? Like I did this today. I was like, what else is there, Lord? It feels like there's something else. So this doesn't just end magically, but you know, I do think it is amazing when I look back at our early 20s to now, how far I feel like he's brought us. But go ahead, I'll let you start.
Yeah, like I think that the time where this really clicked for me of what it looks like to invite God into your finances was we had, when I was 31 years old, we had paid off all of our, you know, we had made a lot of progress since we got married. We paid off all of our credit cards. We paid off our student loans. We paid off our cars. Like we'd gotten rid of all of our debt except for our mortgage. We had a mortgage still. And I was going to, I went to God this one particular day. I was praying out in this field near our house. And I was praying, asking God to help us to pay off our mortgage faster. But the point is, I went to him praying about our financial situation and honestly asking a somewhat, you know, selfish prayer, you could say, you know, like especially at that time in my heart. I would say it was a little bit of a selfish prayer. But regardless, the point is that I was praying and I was praying about our finances, which that's the first step right there. Okay. But then the second step is listen when he speaks. Okay. So after I prayed that, I'm, you know, pacing in this field, or as I was praying that really, I felt him speak to my heart with a clarity that I have never experienced since. And I sensed him communicate through my heart that if you really want to see me move on your finances, I want you to begin giving your age as a percentage of your income. Okay. So again, I'm 31 at this point. We were given probably 10, 11% most months. And so this represented nearly a tripling of our giving. And this is literally an immediate response to me asking God, hey, will you help us pay off our mortgage? So it doesn't make any sense mathematically. It's like, God, you're telling me to do the opposite, to give all of our money away when I just asked you to help us pay off our mortgage. And what I think it was for me was he was testing me. He was testing my heart. He was testing my motives. He was testing whether I would obey. He was testing whether I would lay down my idol of having a paid off mortgage, of which I very well could have been at that point. And so anyway, so I get this and I'm sitting there running numbers through my head, you know, a million miles an hour trying to figure out, I'm like, I don't even know if we can buy groceries. I don't know how this is going to work. Like it just, the math didn't seem like it was going to make any sense. And so I'm like, all right, I'll go talk to Linda. She'll talk some sense into me and tell me I'm crazy and we'll move on. But she didn't. And I went and talked to her and she's like, I don't know, man, if God's asking us to do that, there must be something really cool that he's trying to do. And so with that, that month, we began giving 31% of our income. And in the next month, you know, nothing really happened. The next month, it's like, man, the business is doing a little better. The next month, there was this huge, unexpected tax refund. The next month, it was another thing. It was just like one after another after another. And I had previously built out a spreadsheet, you know, that now that we were, you know, giving all this money away, the spreadsheet said it was going to take 10 years to pay off this mortgage. Of which, again, most people are like, that's not too bad, but it would have been a lot faster if we would just continue. So anyway, so as we keep doing this month after month after month, 10 months later, our mortgage was paid in full.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know how this happens, but it has to be God. And it started by me inviting him and by praying and asking him to invade our finances. But the point there that I wanted to make is that just the prayer is the first part, but the listening, the obeying, the crazy thing that he might ask you to do that seems like it's going to take you the opposite direction. It's like, that's what you got to do.
Now, for the person who's listening who goes, oh, okay, 31%. that feels very disconnected from my financial situation. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't even give 10% right now. Like, you don't know. Yep. You can almost feel the argument that they would make of,
I've heard a lot of them.
You're
yes.
probably making way more money than me. So God could ask that of you. What do you say mm-hmm. to that person?
I say that God will ask you what he will ask you to do, you know, and maybe it's tithing.
Yeah, I mean, I think this comes down to obedience. This is not something we prescribe to people. We don't tell everybody that they should do this. We just are trying to tell people about God's faithfulness in our situation.
Yeah.
That we asked him for help. He gave us what he wanted us to do. It was an invitation. It wasn't like a you better do this or I'm going to get you type of situation. It was very much like, would you trust me enough to do this? Could you lay that down, you know, and just obey? And we just said yes to that. I mean, I think there's something in that of when things don't make sense, when you're trying to add it all up. I mean, the truth is this was not the first time this happened in our marriage. Like there had been several other steps like this leading up to this. So by the time he asks us to do this, we had seen his faithfulness come through when we were like, if we tithe, we cannot pay our bills. Legitimately, they're going to kick us out of our apartment. And he somehow, miraculously, Bob got a raise the very next day when we had determined to give more. I mean, it was like this happened so many times in our finances that it's like the big one, you know, that we like to tell people is that we give our age as a percentage. But where it started was we realized we were not giving 10% and we wanted to be. Like it was just a desire we have to be able to give 10%. We realize we're not doing it. God, what would you like us to do here? And we saw him show up. Like that's the secret, is you just say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And you just do what he asks you to do.
Clearly, because you wrote this book and you coach people monthly, you have the ability to give people the practical steps that are going to walk them there. But where I hear your hearts right now is, you know, as people, we often want this prescription. Like, just tell me what I should do. I have to start giving 31%. That's my way. But you're actually inviting people in to reach out to God, have a conversation in the realness of their heart, the realness of their financial situation before the Lord, and to listen to what he says. I appreciate that so much, is that God can help me fight this battle. And I know you talk a lot about that in your book.
Well, no, and he wants to. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that we forget as Christians. Like, he cares about all facets of our lives. Mm-hmm. He cares about our finances, and he wants to be involved. But, and on top of that, like, we as believers have an unfair advantage over people who are not following God and aren't listening to his advice. And so we should be doing that. And if we do, like, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that I believe he has for us. And that doesn't mean that everyone's going to be rich. I believe that he provides us the provision based on the assignment that he's given us, you know, so that's going to look different for different people. But the point is, I believe that there is a blessed life for all of us that's available to us if we simply listen, obey, and invite him into our finances. Mm-hmm. And it's going to look different for all of us, but but it's there for us.
Now, I'm curious, you know, you wrote this book, Simple Money, Rich Life. Mm-hmm. And my first thought when I read that title, Simple Money, I thought, wow, I think it feels quite opposite of simple for a lot of people. Yeah. But it made me with a deeper question there of, I'm curious how you define financial freedom and why you think this money is simple. Can you kind of break that down for us?
Yeah, I think I have found the more that I've come to understand God's ways and his, I don't know, design for how money would interact with our lives, I believe it actually is really simple. I think we've made everything way more complicated than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I think as you tap into both a lot of the practical advice that the Bible has about money, which I think is super valuable, and like you alluded to, a big part of what we add to the conversation is that's one piece of it, and do all that practical stuff, but what specifically does the Lord have for you in your financial life? What mm-hmm. specifically is he trying to get you to do and that you need the funding and the financing for and everything else, like, and how all that intersects, you know? And so that's a big conversation that we like having with all this. But anyway, there is a simplicity to it, just like everything with following God. Like, I think the Pharisees tend to make things more complicated, and Jesus tended to make it simpler, you know? And I think it's the same way with our money, where when we really just follow him and do things his way, it actually is a much simpler process than most people believe, and really what I think the world wants us to believe at this point.
Right, and I think the true financial freedom component comes in with when you do it God's way, you are actually free. Like, your soul is free. It's not just, oh, I can retire and I don't have to work the rest of my life. It's not just that. That might be part of it. It might not be. That might not be what he has for you. But it is available for us to not have to worry about money again.
Yeah.
Like, he has that available for us. And I think that is really exciting and interesting and inviting to me, to think that there can be a freedom where I don't have to be worried about what is going to happen next. We can look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and they're always taken care of. And not just taken care of, they're taken care of with so much abundance that not one single bird can eat all of the worms that there are. Like, the worms keep reproducing. Like, there's always more, right? Like, there's never any lack. And I think if we can see God, that he has the same for us, who he cares about more, like, we have souls, we're made in his image, he cares more about us, then we'll realize that he has an abundance for us as well. And just being able to trust him in that, there's always enough for us.
So would you say financial freedom is a destination where you have gotten out of debt and you have so much money in the bank? Or is it something that we can experience along the way?
The term financial freedom, like, has a variety of meanings, but I don't even like that term that much. And that's why we talk about this book. Subtitle of the book is Achieving a Life of True Financial Freedom, and which we're defining as different, because it isn't having millions in the bank. It isn't being retired at 40. It isn't living the 4-hour work week or any of those things, but it's actually being in a place where you can, like Paul talked about in Philippians 4, I think, how he talked about how he learned how to abase and abound and be content in the high times and the low times. And that's the thing that, you know, it doesn't come overnight, but man, to be in that place where you cannot worry about money, regardless of how much is in your bank account, because you know who your provider is.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that money cannot buy, because I've, you know, had the opportunity to be around a lot of really, really wealthy people with a whole lot of money who are terrified about losing it, you know, and then there's plenty of people without any money who are terrified about not having it. So it's like fear, it runs the whole gamut. But any of us, regardless of where we are in there, can, if we trust him as our provider, we can be at peace and we can have a true financial freedom. And that's what we're after.
It's funny, because as you're talking and you say that, just kind of the two different sides, somebody might have fear that they're going to lose their money. The other person might have fear that they don't have enough money.
Yep.
And I think in that, we can often think, especially if you're the person that doesn't have enough, you can think the idea of serving both God and money is only a, you know, quote unquote, rich person problem, right?
Yeah.
When your money might be your God, even if you're living in that sense of constant lack. And I know you guys, recently on your podcast, you opened up the conversation for what Christians often talk about, prosperity gospel, poverty mindset.
Yep.
And as you've been walking through that, could you give us maybe just a few nuggets on what a healthier, more biblical view of money and provision would look like in that contrast?
Yeah, I think what I've found, and just this has been the last 18, 19 years, just kind of studying this topic, talking to Christians about money and all of this, you know, and that's one of those topics that comes up a lot is, well, just trying to find that balance, because you can find scriptures to kind of support both sides, whether it's the hardcore prosperity thing or the hardcore poverty thing. And I believe there's a stewardship kind of middle ground that actually is the healthy biblical balance. That if you take the Bible as a whole, rather than one or two verses, I think that's what you see. And I think it's all tied to our hearts. And so that's where, you know, you can have on one hand, somebody who might lean too far in the prosperity direction, where it's like, I just want stuff for me. I want stuff. I want materialism. It's not about the kingdom. It's just about me. What can I get? How can I benefit? Blah, blah, blah. And then on the other hand, maybe the poverty side is just thinking that it's more righteous to be broke. It's more righteous to not have it. I know for me, that was something that I had. Like, that was my kind of comfort, my security blanket when I was broke. Like, just that, well, at least I'm not like those rich guys because they're all going to hell because I came on going through the eye of the needle thing. Like, and it was a self-righteous thing that I had is my justification. And if I would have been rich, then I would have pushed that away and be like, no, you know, but the point is, I think it's easy to just get on either of those extremes and then like walking this beautiful balance where we see that God does want to be our provider. God does enjoy blessing his kids. Like, there's nothing wrong with having something nice and enjoying it. I think it's 1 Timothy 6 even talks about that, about God giving us things to enjoy, mm-hmm. you know, so there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, we also have this opportunity to see ourselves as eternal beings and see money as a tool that we can use to impact the world around us and at the same time store up treasures in heaven through our giving. I'm sure that when we get to heaven, like, none of us are going to regret right. for having given anything we've given. And I think we'll probably all be like, man, I probably could have given more. If I would have known, I wish we would have given a little bit more.
And I would just encourage anybody who's listening to go listen through that series on your podcast, the Seed Time Money Podcast, mm-hmm. Where you really walk through this. And we can't get into the fullness of this topic today, but I appreciated what you brought to that conversation. Well, in closing, can you paint a picture of the rich life we can access if we allow God in to help us fight our financial battles?
You know, I've been listening to this song, this old song, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And there is a bridge to that song that just gets me every time I hear it. I hadn't heard it in church much, but there was a recording of it, and it says, who can weigh the volume of knowing you, and who can charge the worth of who you are? And I think about that and I'm like, the richness that we have is knowing him. We've put our value in the wrong thing. On the earth, we literally are putting our value in the wrong thing. And I think that money can be such an idol that it tries to pull us away from what we actually have in God. But when we go back to him, we realize that we have everything we need. And it doesn't matter any circumstance that we're in. It does not matter the car we're driving or the house we live in. It doesn't matter if we're living in extreme poverty or in, you know, extreme wealth. It doesn't matter who our friends are or what people think of us. Like, we get to be in the presence of the King whenever we want. And putting our value in that, like, just kind of refocusing. Like, for me, it is listening to worship music. I always, or just, you know, worshiping God myself, like singing and worshiping to me, always gets me back in that state. Or reading the word gets me back into that state where my eyes are on him and all of the things of the earth grow strangely dim. I kind of forget about, man, I really wish I had fill in the blank. I really wish I could fill in the blank with what the earth has to offer, but it's just never going to compare with how good it is to be in his presence anytime I want. I love that.
Well, I would say that is a mic drop moment and just describing the rich life that we have available in Christ. Well, Bob and Linda, I want to thank you for taking time to offer such hope-filled wisdom to our audience.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, if you're ready to take a step toward financial freedom, be sure to check out Bob's book, Simple Money, Rich Life at seedtime.com. And remember, you don't have to stay stuck. There is a better way, and God is in it with you.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, Harvest Prude on the healthy use of dating apps.
People really relied on their networks, whether that was meeting people through family, parents, friends, work, increasingly education, college is a huge way people meet. But outside of that, now that there's these websites and apps, a lot of those informal networks are no longer working the way they used to.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.